agencies in the Confederate government that hired women. They employed women for $500 a year, expected them to work only a year in most cases. These women would laboriously sign the certificates on bonds and sign other Confederate paper currency and so forth. Many other departments also hired women. It became more common after 1862 into 1863. Women rolled a lot of cartridges in the Confederacy, that close hand work. I've talked about rolling cartridges before in class, but it involves a lot of paper and a lot of hand work. A lot of young women did that in the Confederacy, and a number of women were killed or maimed in explosions in Confederate factories where they were handling powder during the war, a major accident in Richmond and major accidents elsewhere. In terms of farming, Confederate women did an enormous amount of work that they had not had to do before the war. This is where most of the story takes place in the Confederacy, again, because so much of the Confederacy is agricultural. The huge proportion of military-age white males off to the war, most of them are yeoman farmers. Their wives are left at home to carry on, and they endure enormous hardships. Slaveholding women did as well. The slave system added a dimension that didn't exist in the North, or at least in most of the North. It would exist to a degree in the slave states that remained loyal to the Union, but for the most part, this is a Southern phenomenon. And diary after diary is filled with complaints about the exasperation women experience trying to run plantations or large farms with slaves on them efficiently. They had a hard time maintaining discipline and order on these farms, compelling slaves or free blacks to perform the labor required to keep these areas running. Mistresses were forced to rely on key slaves for help. We talked about the Shepherd Pryor family when we were talking about the erosion of the bonds of slavery during the war in the Confederacy. That was a very common phenomenon. I'll quote from one South Carolina woman who wrote to her husband this way. She said, "Several pigs have died. I tell you candidly, all this attention to farming is uphill work with me. I can give orders first rate, but when I'm not obeyed, I can't keep my temper. A housekeeper has so much to do independent of field work. Then our Soldiers' Aid Society keeps us busy too. I'm ever ready to give you a helping hand, but I must say I'm heartily tired of trying to manage free Negroes. It is so lonesome here," she wrote at the end. She really feels sort of besieged by all the things that she was trying to do. Hardship and fear, I think, prompted many Confederate women to react in ways virtually unknown in the North. There was a great deal of discontent. There's also discontent in the North, discontent with rising prices, discontent with how much work many women had to do, but it took a different form in the Confederacy often. Women who didn't have slaves obviously had to rely on their kinfolk or on their community or on their own labor and wits to make ends meet as the economy became more and more problematical in the Confederacy and as their husbands were away for longer and longer periods of time. Remember, if you're in the army in the Confederacy, you never get out unless you're wounded or unless there's some other unusual reason, because Congress kept changing the rules. Men from the Confederacy were in for the whole war, and so that leaves their families at home for protracted periods. We don't have an accurate picture of how much discontent may have affected support for the Confederacy, but we do know that many women finally reached a point where they simply didn't think they could make a go of it anymore, and they would write letters. Many of these survive. Many of them are pathetic, writing letters to their husbands saying, in effect, "We cannot feed ourselves. If you don't come home to help, we're going to starve to death. Now come home. We have to have you come home." These kinds of letters presented Confederate soldiers with an awful dilemma. They had to decide where their real obligation was. Was their real obligation, their first obligation, a patriotic one to the Confederacy? Do my duty no matter what? No, we all have to sacrifice. That means my wife and my children have to sacrifice too. Is that what they should do? Or is my real duty to my wife and to my children? Do I desert? Do I go home? Because that is the greater crisis here. The Confederacy may fail. I would hate that, but I can't have my family starving behind the lines That is a dilemma that many Confederate soldiers faced, and they did so because many women were pushed to the wall.